This morning's Hebrew Bible lesson comes from Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises up to the Lord, O you, his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. But your favor, O Lord, you had established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will thank you forever.
Good morning. My name is Mike Rich. My pronouns are he, him, his. And welcome to everyone. Our scripture from the Gospels this morning is from the book of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got in the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, you have no fish, have you? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone to shore, they saw a charcoal fire there with the fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. A second time, Jesus said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Peter felt hurt. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because he said this to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. Jesus said this to John to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, Jesus said to him, follow me. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, God, our rock and our redeemer. As it is our ONA anniversary, help me succeed in approaching today's gospel lesson from the perspective of an ally to our LGBTQIA+ siblings. I'm a lawyer by trade, and so in my DNA there's this problem that goes back to the ancient days when lawyers were paid by the word. So I have a very hard job keeping things short, so please forgive me. I tried. I cut out so many things. In today's gospel reading from the book of John, we join Jesus and his disciples the morning after his second visit with his disciples since his resurrection. But this morning, after 3 years of being in the mission field with Jesus, listening to their teacher passing on his commandments, watching him be crucified for it, and meeting with the resurrected Savior, the fear and confusion of the times have left them trying to pick up life as it had been before they left their homes, their families, and occupations to be disciples and evangelists. They're back at their old occupation, fishing, trying to act like things could be back to a pre-Jesus normal. Well, what's up with that? John Zaring, whom many of us know from his time serving us as a sabbatical and bridge pastor and guest preacher, in the introduction to his short book, What the Bible Says About Homosexuality, a Bible Study for Progressive People of Faith, writes, as always with a serious Bible study, the first question to be studied is, to whom was this passage addressed, and to whom does it apply? So who was John's audience? He was writing in the late first century of the Common Era, about 60 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, at a time when the Roman Empire was near the height of its power. He's telling about Jesus' third appearance to his disciples after his death. I think John's audience are the believers who are struggling with how hard it was to follow Jesus after his death during times of Roman persecution. And he's telling them, and us as we read it today, that we must do it anyway, and that we must include all of Jesus' sheep. So what is going on here? Like their nets, the disciples' energy reserves and enthusiasm stores are empty. Things are not like they were before. But here is the risen Christ providing for them again, blessing and sharing an already cooked breakfast for their hungry bodies. And when they do as he says and cast their net on the other side of the boat, he provides an abundant catch to replenish their depleted finances. So after breakfast, Jesus turns to Peter, the apostle, who, as Jesus predicted he would, denied him 3 times at the cross. And Jesus asks him to confirm his love, also 3 times. Pastor Leah provided me with a resource explaining that it wasn't the same question that Jesus asked all 3 times, though. The English translation of their conversation hides a key insight into this exchange. The word, what is translated as love in the English, is actually 2 different words with different meanings in Greek. Jesus asks Peter 3 times if he loves him, and Peter answers 3 times that he does. But the first 2 times, Jesus uses the word agape, a love that pours itself out for others, the kind of love that sacrifices itself that others may thrive. This is the kind of love that Jesus has for his disciples, and he wants to know if Peter has it for him. Interestingly, though, Peter replies with a different kind of love, philos. Philos is the love between 2 close friends, a deep fraternal affection, as in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Jesus is asking Peter, would you pour yourself out for me? Jesus is trying to get Peter to see that this is the type of love necessary for the life that Peter will lead from here on out. The what next that will be dictated by others' needs, and that will eventually lead to Peter's death. Feed my sheep, Jesus proclaims, a command that places Peter squarely in the position of Jesus, whom Peter has heard call himself the Good Shepherd. Well, Peter either doesn't get it, as we've seen numerous times in Bible study, that often the disciples and apostles don't get what's going on. So it's okay if we don't either here 2,000 years later. But either Peter is thinking, nuh-uh, Jesus, I know where that type of love leads, because he responds, yes, Lord, you know that I have a deep affection for you. It's sort of like that awkward conversation where an earnest suitor proclaims their love, only to be met with, actually, I think of you as a great friend. Undaunted, Jesus tries again. Will you pour yourself out for me? Will you feed my sheep as I have fed you, as I have cared for you even this very morning? Jesus, Peter replies, you know we're the best of friends. So finally, Jesus meets Peter where he is. Peter, do you love me like a brother? Using philos, and this time, Peter can reply honestly and wholeheartedly, yes, I do. Here's the kicker, though. Jesus responds the same exact way, tend my flock. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. It means everyone. Jesus is setting the stage for the extravagant welcome to all of the ONA movement. As Andy said during the children or the all ages together, we need to love everyone and love our neighbor. And the question is, you know, who is our neighbor? And the song answers that. All of God's critters are our neighbor that we need to love. So, and Jesus is also letting Peter know that caring for the flock means giving them what they need, not just what Peter and the disciples want to give. They also sent me a link to another resource, the queertheology.com, which has a podcast called the Queer Theology Podcast. The co-founders of the .com and the hosts of the podcast, Father Shea Kearns and Brian G. Murphy, point out that the passage doesn't end with Jesus saying, do this work and you'll get a book deal out of it, or do this work and you can start a nonprofit and make a full-time living doing this work. Those are the wrong reasons to do it, because it needs to be done because it's the work of God and for justice in the world, and because queer lives are important. To be an ally, they say, you must give up some ego and center oppressed and marginalized people. Perhaps cook the meals or provide the food for the queer or trans speakers. Vote so that they can get to use the right restroom. Even something as simple as making sure you use the right pronouns or sharing your own, even if you are a cisgender person, so that queer people don't have to be the only ones announcing that their pronouns. That's allyship. Jesus tells Peter to prove his love by doing the work that Jesus has requested, doing it even though it may be hard, scary, harmful to your career, or even dangerous. Like Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, in the other New Testament scripture that's in today's lectionary, Acts 9, which we didn't have read, but still ties into our ONA anniversary and to my personal story of change. Paul had a messenger sent to him by Jesus to remove the scales from his eyes and turn him from a persecutor of Jesus' followers into an apostle. I received a message like that had me repent. The Greek word translated as repent is metanoia, literally to change one's mind or way of thinking. I've told this story many times, not here, but many times in my life. It was only when communicating with Leah in preparation for today that I was overcome with emotion in realizing that the events I am about to describe were life-changing for me. It was the 1968 to 1969 academic year. I was a senior in high school, and thought I had my future all lined up with an appointment to the U.S. Naval Academy in my pocket. There was a demonstration in the field adjacent to my high school and Hunter College in the Bronx against the Vietnam War. The following day in class, instead of discussing the lesson set out in the curriculum, our economics teacher, Mr. Schwartz, I'll never forget Mr. Schwartz now because of this, led a discussion about the demonstration. In addition to the annoying habit of being a lawyer and writing a lot, I have a very annoying penchant, at least annoying to me, for clearly remembering embarrassing moments from 40 and even 50 years ago. So I remember quite vividly Mr. Schwartz's question and the several minutes, I suppose it must have been less than that, but it felt even longer, as I sat in absolute silence in class, trying to think of an answer to his question. Mr. Rich, you were one of the counter-protesters. What were your goals? I don't even remember if I had an answer at the time, but that question and my lack of a coherent answer, even in my head, was momentous. It changed me from a denigrator and heckler of anti-war protesters to a peace activist. I relinquished my appointment to Annapolis and notified all the engineering schools with ROTC programs to which I had been accepted that I wouldn't be coming. I signed up for training with one of the peace groups, and the following demonstrations I served as a marshal. Of course, there was a great deal of fear involved in declining my admission to all those institutions to which I had applied, pursuing a whole different direction in my life, and not knowing then whether it was a good decision. Obviously not as scary as Peter following Jesus after Jesus presaged his martyrdom in the last sentence of the John passage. Someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. The good news for Peter was that Jesus would always be with him. Remember last week's gospel reading in which Jesus blessed the apostles with the Holy Spirit, and this week's in which he prepares breakfast for them and provides 153 large fish in their nets. My personal good news related to following the call to do justice and pursue peace led me to a major in political science at the City College of New York, which is where I met a beautiful co-ed who became my wife, Bette, with whom I've been together for more than 48 years. So as you think of the scriptures, as you think of our OA anniversary, consider how the Holy Spirit moves in your life, where it leads you, whether you want to be there or not, and how Jesus and the church of his followers created, the church's followers created, continue to feed you, and you can feed his sheep. Amen. As you go out into the world, depart from this time today. Continue to serve with faith and love. Depart from this time today committed to sharing the best of yourself through generosity of time and resources, meeting the needs of others, both spoken and unspoken, seen and unseen, heard and unheard. As the God of healing has healed us, let us go now and share that compassion with the world. Let us go and greet our beloved transgender, bisexual, lesbian, and gay siblings, our Black, Latinx, Indigenous siblings, sharing the good news that they are seen, they are heard, they are beloved. Go now in hope. Amen.